I want to draw your attention this morning to two brief passages of scripture. The first one is Psalm 133 and 1. That's Psalm 133, verse 1. And then Philippians chapter 4, 6 through 7. Philippians chapter 4, 6 through 7. Psalm 133 and 1 says, "How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity." And then Philippians 4, 6 through 7 reads from the Message Bible, "Don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life." I want to share this morning from the subject, praying through uncertain times. Praying through uncertain times. My brothers and sisters, we are living in a critical and vacillating hour of history filled with uncertainties. We are uncertain about the conflicts that we are part of in foreign lands. The question is, will there be peace? And what will that peace cost us? We are uncertain about the rise in cyber attacks against America, wondering if our accounts will be compromised and or will our identity be stolen. We are uncertain about our allies in Europe because of our outgoing president's posture of bullying and failure to compromise. Will they continue to support us in the civil unrest cropping up around the globe? We are uncertain about the role that North Korea and Iraq will play in a nuclear game. Can we stop them from creating more weapons of mass destruction? We are uncertain about the moral fiber of our own country, America. Do we have a citizenry strong enough to uphold a high standard of moral balance that will guide our local, state, and federal governments? We are uncertain about the future consequences these last 4 years of divisive speech and rhetoric will have on an already splintered and fractured country. We are uncertain about our economy. Will we continue to experience a slowdown? Will there be another round of stimulus checks? Will the market crash? We are uncertain of the lasting effects of the coronavirus. When will our children physically go back to school? When will we be able to worship together? When will we be able to do many of the activities we used to do? Will the vaccine work? We are uncertain about whether America will truly be one nation under God, indivisible with liberty and justice for all. As humans, there are no simple answers to these perplexing questions. Unsaved humanity is stumbling like blind men in a dark room. They do not know where they came from or where they're going. They have built a house of cards that will all come crumbling down with one strong wind. Like Belteshazzar in the presence of Daniel, the handwriting is on the wall, but they cannot decipher it and their knees are knocking. But in these uncertain times, there are some things of which we, as spiritual men, women, boys, and girls, can be certain. We can be certain that our Heavenly Father knows everything that is happening in our world today. And more importantly, we can be certain that He is in full control. We who are His children need only rest in Him. We can be certain that Christ is our soul's anchor amidst the storms of life. He will see us through every obstacle Satan tries to place in our path. We can be certain that the Lord will provide us with the determination to face our difficulties as well as our doubts. We can be certain that the Lord will give us courage to face our crises as well as our critics. We can be certain that the Lord will grant us the boldness we need to face the enemy and carry us through our burdens. We can be certain that the Lord will bolster our faith and remove our frustrations. And we can be certain that the Lord will give us the comfort to face our cares and concerns. And we can be certain that those who have been washed in the blood of the Lamb have a permanent status on heaven's rolls, regardless of this world's condition. What the world needs now is love, the kind of love that flows from heart to heart and breast to breast. It would be magnificent to wake up one morning and find that the world powers had become unified and on one accord. It would be marvelous to see the spiritual men from every nation assume roles of leadership and together work for the common good of mankind. Our first text that was lifted up this morning from Psalm 133, it is a song of rejoicing by spiritual men. There are differences of opinion concerning this psalm. The most probable is that it was written during the priest and Levite's return from captivity as they were united in the service of God in the sanctuary. One tradition states that it was one of the songs of ascent, traditionally sung as God's people approached Jerusalem for one of the major worship festivals. Another tradition suggests that the ascent was 15 steps leading up to the temple, and that this and other psalms were sung by choirs of Levites, those men in charge of the spiritual health of their people. But of one thing we can be certain, this song was sung by spiritual men in celebration of God's goodness. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. According to this scripture, unity is a good and pleasant experience, especially among brethren, members of the same family, of the same Christian community, and of the same nation. But why not among the great family of mankind? As technology causes the world to shrink rapidly, why is unity among the nations still so elusive? There is a simple answer to that question. Peace will never come as long as there are men who refuse to submit to the higher power of the master's will. When the leadership of nations view themselves as the highest power, there is no common ground on which to build world peace. The personal agendas of the leaders in many nations, including our own, supersede any thought of godly guidance, and without submission to Almighty God, there is no common ground on which to build a world of peace. If unity is good and pleasant, disunion is bad and hateful. The United Nations has a great challenge before it to create a climate of brotherly love and tolerance in a world that is careening out of control. How sad that in these critical times, it is the United Nations and not the Church of Jesus Christ that has been chosen as the catalyst for change, the hope for peace. It is not that the Church of Jesus Christ has been silent on the issues of war and the economy and terrorism. It is just that nobody is listening to us. Principalities and powers in high places have set their own agendas against God's permissive will. So what do we do? Our second text we lifted up this morning helps us. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, "Do not fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concern." There is no better time in the world history than now for serious prayer. Not the redundant, repetitive, and rushed prayer of a Christian in a hurry to get to his own personal agenda, but the prayer of a righteous man, which still availeth much. The world needs praying men. The world needs praying women. The world needs praying children. Those who know the power of prayer until the world will study war no more. My brothers and sisters, prayer can accomplish anything. It can stimulate faithfulness and motivate enthusiasm. It can generate compassion and invigorate our worship. It can motivate our enthusiasm and regulate our stewardship. But most of all, it can perpetuate unity. Prayer makes our faith stronger, our thoughts purer, our decisions wiser, our doubts fewer, and our hopes brighter. Through prayer, men give God the opportunity to challenge and correct us, and then to instruct and equip us. What the world needs now is devout and passionate prayer, the kind that pours from the hearts of those who love the Lord. While the United Nations and the world continue to ponder and debate issues, the children of God must lift profound and productive prayers. We know what prayer has done in the past. We have seen prayer conquer our fears. We have seen prayer restore our friendships. We have seen prayer convert the souls of men. We have seen prayer salvage marriages and relationships. We have seen prayer lift many from brokenness and out of dark places. We have seen prayer comfort those who are grieving. We have seen prayer heal the sick and afflicted. We have seen prayer turn that wayward child around. We have seen prayer increase our faith. Through the honest and heartful prayers of the righteous, there is still hope for many people of the world. After all, prayer is the gateway into God's presence, where no reasonable request can be denied his children. Prayer has always been our highway to bountiful blessings, because it is on our knees where we best demonstrate our faithfulness to our master. The world may be in turmoil. Nations may be rising against nations, but there is always hope through prayer. Prayer reaches out for the intangible. It looks for the invisible. It listens for the inaudible, believes in the incredible, and waits for the inevitable. The promise of 2 Chronicles 7:14 still rings true. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek his face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. There are mountains that need moving this morning. There are problems that need solving this morning. There are crosses that need bearing this morning. There are lives that need changing this morning. Won't you pray? Yes, what the world needs right now is love, and how good and pleasant it would be for brethren to dwell together in unity. But while the world is searching for peace and searching for unity through government intervention, the children of God know whom can provide peace and unity. And we must go to him in prayer. The circumstances are critical. The situation is desperate. The future is uncertain. The doors of opportunity are closing. The Lord is coming again soon. So my brothers and sisters, we must continue to pray through these uncertain times. Will you pray today and continue in the days ahead? The message of God for the people of God. Maybe there's someone on our worship call this morning that does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and personal Savior. I encourage you to pray this prayer with me. Dear Lord, I acknowledge that you, Jesus, are the Son of God. I believe that you died on the cross, that your blood was shed for my sins, and that you arose from the grave and conquered death. I understand that I was born a sinner, and I have sinned by disobeying your commandments. I ask you to forgive me for these sins. Please change my heart to be like yours, loving and full of forgiveness. Help me to obey your teachings as recorded in the Bible. Bring people into my life who can help me on this new path. Be my Savior. Be my Lord. Thank you for saving me from death and giving me new life. Amen. By faith, if you believe this prayer, you are saved.